First one. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up and indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is it not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean that then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons too. You cannot have part in both of the Lord's table and a table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? May God bless the preaching of this word today.
Thank you, Juliana. I almost turned off the PowerPoint projector. Anyway, we want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship this morning. Thank you for leading us so that we can praise the Lord on the one hand, and on the other hand, we are prepared to hear the word of God. Now, before we do that, let us come before him once again. Let us join our minds and hearts and pray together, shall we? Father God, speak to us through 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Lord, may your Spirit open our eyes so that we can see, our ears so that we can hear, and our hearts so that we can store up your word. Lord, may you bless the one who speaks and those who listen. Guide us now so that we can understand and walk in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you are old enough to remember. I hope you are old enough to remember, but definitely your parents in our midst will remember this. On the 26th of December 2004, the nation of Indonesia was invaded by a massive, a humongous tsunami that was caused by the undersea earthquake. And in that tsunami, over 250,000 people died. But surprisingly, in that area, there was this little island called Simulu Island. Now, after the tsunami, after the earthquake started, and half an hour later, the tsunami, you know, just swept over this little island there, a 30 feet high wave, right? Just covered the entire island. On the island, there were 75,000 residents. And yet, surprisingly, as I said, only 7 people died. Well, that's amazing, huh? Well, you know what? Ever since the residents of the island were born, they have heard their grandparents tell them about this incident, which took place about 100 years ago in 1907. At that time, there was another great wave sweeping over this island. Several thousand people died. And so these residents, they remember the story. And every time there is an earthquake, right away they, you know, recall that incident, and they would run all the way to the high mountains to escape from the potential tsunamis. Now, history can teach us a very good lesson. History lessons are very important. In today's passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul used the history of the Israelites to teach the Corinthian Christians how to face temptations. As you recall, in chapter 8, Paul rebuked those who claimed to have special knowledge, who abused their freedom to eat food sacrificed to idols. And as a result, they caused the members or brothers and sisters who had weaker faith to stumble and fall. And then in chapter 9, Paul used himself as an example to the Corinthians. He said, "I would rather give up my apostolic privileges in order to help many more people to come to know Jesus Christ." And he said this in chapter 9, verse 19, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Now here in chapter 10, Paul used the history of the Israelites to further warn the Corinthian Christians, especially those who think they have the special knowledge, so that they would not fall. They would not sin against God. They would not cause other people to stumble. You see, amongst the Corinthian Christians, there was this group of people who claimed to have this special knowledge. They have this point of view. They think, well, you know, since we've been baptized, and we are united in Christ, and we partake of the Holy Communion, we break the bread and drink the cup all the time, and Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, and so we have this protection. And even if we eat food sacrificed to idols, it doesn't really harm us. There's no hurt. Paul warned this group of brothers and sisters who are overconfident. Now he says in today's passage, verse 6 and verse 11, that, you know, you have to learn from the examples of the Israelites. The history of the Israelites could serve as examples to you and to us today. So what are these examples? Well, Paul points out that although the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, yet they enjoy special privileges from God. A lot of them, the majority of them, still fell in the wilderness, fell in the desert. They were not allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. Now here in verses 1 to the first part of verse 4, Paul points out how God used the pillar of cloud to lead the Israelites through the wilderness. And when they were, when they came to this dead end, there's no way to go forward. And yet the Egyptian army was, you know, chasing after them. God opened up the Red Sea so that they could cross the sea on dry ground. These two experiences led them to come under the leadership of Moses, just as we believers who are baptized into the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, Paul points out, when the Israelites were hungry in the wilderness, God provided them with manna. And when they were thirsty, God opened up the rock so that they could drink from the spring. Indeed, the Israelites were blessed. They enjoyed special privileges in the wilderness. And yet, they didn't know it. They didn't appreciate it. They kept complaining, they kept grumbling, and they were displeasing to God. And as a result, Paul pointed out that many died in the wilderness and failed to enter into the land of Canaan. And then in verse 7 to verse 10, Paul points out some of the sins or some of the iniquity that the Corinthians, Israelites committed in the wilderness so that the Corinthians could learn from them. Now, every sin that Paul mentions here in 7 to 10 is also the temptation, the sin that the Corinthians commit. First of all, of course, is the sin of idolatry. The Corinthian Christians think that, going to the banquets held in temples, attending those festivities is A-okay. And they would do that quite often. And by and by, they would commit the same mistakes as the Israelites. They would just sit down and eat and drink, and they would just get up to indulge in revelry. And as a result of that, they took part in idol worship. And what about us? Do we take part in idol worship too? I don't believe that in your home there are idols like the Chinese idols, the Guanyin, the Buddha, or any idol dolls. But maybe deep inside, in the most secret place of our heart, there are idols, even without our knowing it. And what are idols? Well, anything that would displace the position of God in our lives. Idols do not have to be these American idols, these singers like Gaga, Lady Gaga, or Madonna, or movie stars. Idols don't have to be video game or the electronic game that we have to win. Idols could be anything that occupies our attention. Every moment we get up, every day we go to bed, every day we go through life, only those things could satisfy us. They play a more important role in our lives. Those are idols. Now, the Apostle Paul points out to the Corinthians that, you shouldn't worship idols. And then after that, he mentioned another sin that the Israelites committed in the wilderness, and closely related to idol worship, is, of course, sexual immorality or fornication. As you remember, in the city of Corinth, there were many temples. And in the temples, there were female priests, those priestesses. They also doubled up as prostitutes. So when the Corinthian Christians or when the Corinthians went to the temple to worship idols, many a time they would patronize. They would visit the prostitutes. Paul already warned them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But here, Paul pointed out once again to the Corinthians, you should stop idol worshiping and you should stop this kind of practice of sexual immorality. And then Paul goes on to point out two other sins that the Israelites committed and yet quite prevalent amongst the Corinthian Christians. To test Christ and to grumble are two ways to really see how much patience God has. You know, these Corinthian Christians, especially those who claim to have special knowledge, they say, well, you know, we keep patronizing the temples, we keep going to the, you know, those priestesses, and we will see how much God can put up with us before he would punish us. They are really, you know, testing God. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the sins of the Israelites in the past to warn the Corinthian Christians, to use them as examples to the Corinthian Christians. And so he said this in verse 12. He said, "So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Other Corinthian Christians, you know, think that, well, we have received baptism, we, you know, partake of the communion all the time, and we have this protection, and so we could just mingle, we could just, you know, follow their practice of idol worship, and we could just have this kind of fornication in our midst. That's A-OK. But the Apostle Paul warns them, even those who have received great privileges, great mercy, great grace from God, those people could not stand up to the great power of temptation. Those people could not stand up to the great power of these lurings. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to the Apostle Paul's warning today. Don't ever think for a moment that, oh, I go to the Bible study. Pastor Andy teaches me very well. I know the Bible. And I lead people to Christ. And I take part in short-term mission. And I attend the worship every Sunday. And I go to the fellowship group meetings. Blah, blah, blah. And because of all those activities, I will never fall. Think again, brothers and sisters. Don't ever underestimate the power of temptation. When I was studying in Edmonton, Alberta, I had a very close friend. For almost 2 years, after every Sunday worship service, we, together with a group of brothers and sisters from the church, would drive to this town called Red Deer, 100 miles south of Edmonton. And we would go there to preach the gospel, to organize fellowship group meetings with the international students. This good friend of mine loved the Lord. He was fervent in spreading the gospel. And he was greatly used by the Lord. Now, after university graduation, he went to a famous seminary in the United States to get some training. The pastors and the elders and the leaders of the church at the time really gave thanks to God for him. And they were very hopeful for him. Now, after he graduated from the seminary, he and his wife, whom he got to know in Edmonton, together they returned to Hong Kong to serve in a Christian organization. And there, my friend got to know this sister in that workplace. And the long and short of the story was, he wanted to divorce his wife and get married with this sister. And many brothers and sisters who were close to him advised him, rebuked him. And yet he still didn't listen. He wouldn't want to listen. And just like that, my friend, who loved the Lord, who was greatly used by the Lord, who was fervent for the Lord, just fell right there. He couldn't stand up to the temptation of extramarital affair. What a pity. And so that's why the Apostle Paul says, so If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And the idea is, don't be so innocent. Don't be so childish, simple-minded, thinking that you could stand firm and you never fall. Just be careful. In fact, when the opportunity arises, when the circumstances arise, any one of us, including myself, can fall and commit sins. Temptation is a dangerous thing. And even the Apostle Paul says this at the last part of chapter 9. He says, I would discipline myself lest I would what? I would fall away when I preach the gospel to other people. And there's this survey, surveying 3,000 men and women to see which gender was prone to what temptation. And so here's the result. When it comes to sex, men are tempted more easily. But when it comes to food, you ladies are like to eat. All right? And when it comes to money, it's, you know, half and half. And when it comes to alcohol, men, you know, tend to drink a lot. When it comes to power, surprisingly, women like to hold on to power. So, husbands, watch out. And there's another survey done by this Christian Discipleship magazine to invite the readers to list some of the spiritual challenges, that is, you know, temptations they might face. And here's the listing. Altogether 9. Materialism, pride, self-centeredness, laziness. Laziness can be a challenge, especially those of you who don't want to go to work every day, right? This could be a temptation. Anger, or bitterness, sex, envy, gluttony. You know what gluttony is, right? Just love to eat. Lying, right? Brothers and sisters, we could be tempted in so many different ways. Even Jesus Christ himself was tempted before he launched his earthly ministry. Satan tempted him in physical needs, in status, and in the glory of this world. But we praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, even though he was tempted in many ways, yet he was without sin. He did not succumb to sin. Let me tell you, meeting temptation is not a sin. You don't meet temptation everywhere. If you go downtown Vancouver, if you go to Metro Town, if you walk past certain shops, you face temptation. When you turn on your TV, you face temptation. Meeting temptation is not a sin. But if you linger in temptation, if you loiter in temptation, if you just stay a little while longer, you will be prone to stumble. You will sin very easily. And so we should learn from Jesus Christ. We should not give Satan, our enemy, any chance to cause us to stumble. When we face temptation, we should neutralize it right away. And Paul, in chapter 10, verse 13, give us some good news about how to face temptations. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And that is, in other words, we can overcome temptation. We can defeat temptation. Now, for those of us who drive, you notice that from time to time, if you pass by the highway or certain roads, you see this road sign which tells you the weight, the amount of weight that the road surface can, you know, sustain. In other words, you know, if your vehicle is oversized and overweight, please don't drive over this road surface. Otherwise, the road surface would be damaged, right? And it's the same for us. We can bear, we can sustain, you know, different ways. Some people can stand up to the pressure of temptation better than the others. And yet, all of us, without exception, have a limit. And we praise the Lord. He knows us. And He is faithful. And He knows your limit. And He knows my limit. And He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And also He promises us. He promises us that when we are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. And the author of the book of Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 18, helps us. He says, because He, meaning Jesus Christ, Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. And we praise the Lord for that. Let me tell you a true story. There's this single mother, Christian, by the name of Wanda Johnson. She has 5 kids. One day, she needed $60 just to go through the day. And she was walking in the street wondering, how am I going to get the money? And then something bizarre happened to her. You know, a truck carrying these bank rolls passed by her. And just when the truck was passing her, the back door kind of jerked open. A money bag fell out of the truck. And Wanda went up, picked up the bag, and opened it, and counted it. You know how much money inside? $160K. Wow, that's a lot of money. $160,000. So, you know, right at that moment, there is this surge of struggle welling within Wanda. You know, if I keep the money, I could pay all the bills. I don't have to worry about the livelihood of my children anymore. And yet, unfortunately, the money was not hers. Now, Wanda went home, struggled for 4 hours, 4 long hours. And finally, she decided to call the police and return the money. I would praise the Lord. I wonder, saw that if she had kept the money, she would have stumbled. She would have sinned against God. And more so, she may have, you know, been put in jail. And we thank God, Wanda saw the way out. She saw that, you know, calling the police was God's way out for her. Oh, brothers and sisters, never underestimate the power, the danger of temptation. Better still, never underestimate the power of God. Never underestimate God's faithfulness. God says to you, I will give you that power to overcome temptation. I will open up a way for you so that you can escape from it. Now, having said all that, let's be honest. Sometimes we cannot really shake off temptation because we did not, you know, pay close attention to the exit door that God has opened for us. We are captured by temptation. We do not intentionally seek the way out. Let me say this again. When we face temptation, when temptation comes to us, it's not sin. But when we linger, when we loiter, when we stay a little longer in temptation, we can easily stumble over that. You know, we live in a world that is getting farther and farther away from God. The Word of God is no longer the absolute standard of morality and ethics in society. Being Adam's descendants, we have this human nature. We're prone to sin. Satan, our enemy, constantly lures us away from our God. And when we sin, he will say to us, look at you. He would accuse us. Look at you. You sin all the time. You fall in sin all the time. You call yourself a Christian? Forget it. Give it up. But brothers and sisters, don't get hopeless. Don't get this despair. Our Father in heaven knows us. He knows our weakness. He is full of mercy. He is full of grace. He is full of compassion and love. He will help us for sure. You know, there was this man who is the founder of the National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families in the United States. Once he shared this testimony. He said, "I often travel alone in my job. I stay at different hotels, many hotels, so many different times. Almost in each room, there is that cable television. Sometimes when I'm alone in the room, I am tempted just to flick to these porn stations to see what, you know, my generation called the blue movies. You know what blue movies are, right? Those pornography movies. There was this one time. I was, you know, flicking the remote, trying to look for the MLB, Major League Baseball, the World Series. And then I came across this station showing a movie. The TV screen showed a half-naked woman. And then I switched. And then I found the sports station to watch the World Series. For the next 10 minutes, even though I was watching the World Series, my mind kept going back to that half-naked woman. And so from time to time, I flicked back to that station 4-5 times. And then I said, no more. I turned off the TV. And this person kept saying, "All my life, I try to show people what pornography can do to the children, to the parents, to the family. And yet here I am. I fell in temptation. And that kind of temptation defeated me. How can I come to God?" And yet, praise the Lord, he did. He came before God and asked God for mercy. And he cried out to God. He said, "Lord, how could it be possible? How could this happen to me? I don't even have faith to pray to you now." And then this person heard God say to him. God reminded him. God said, "Jerry," that's his name, "I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by your sin. All along, I know that you were a sinner. I know your weakness. I know that you are prone to sin. But I want you to know that too. Only I can give you strength. Only I can help you overcome temptation and not stumble." I will praise God for that. He knows us. Now, although our God knows us, although he is full of mercy, grace, compassion, and love, we cannot just sit on our hands and do nothing, waiting for God to rescue us. And so in verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." Flee meaning quickly turn away from it as far as possible in a different direction. When we know that we are in temptation, we should turn off the TV right away. We should turn off the computer right away. We should get away from the bookshelves that are, you know, full of those pornographic magazines or places where it could really tempt us. We need to be careful. Very often, a little step, a little compromise can lead us into big time of sinning. For example, when we go to the kiosk in the malls, and when we just want to buy a magazine or a newspaper, and maybe we are tempted to buy, you know, a few tickets of $6.49. I never bought one, and so I don't know what it's like, you know, people are very, you know, intent, very intense when they are scratching those numbers, you know, shading those numbers. I don't know what is that all about. Or maybe sometimes when we open, especially the Chinese newspapers, there may be columns that, you know, that contain all those pornographic, you know, stories. Or maybe when we go to these social gatherings, people are drinking, people are smoking. Hey, you know, just one small smoke, one small glass of drink doesn't really hurt. And Chinese people like to play MJ too. And Korean people know too how to play MJ, I suppose. Mahjong, you know what MJ is, right? So a little, you know, compromise doesn't really hurt. But by and by, we fall into that big trap of sinning, temptation, without really knowing it. Just look at King David, right? That particular evening, after finishing dinner, he walked up to the rooftop of his palace. He was walking around enjoying the beautiful sunset. And then, boom! He saw Bathsheba taking her evening bath. Right at that moment, King David should have fled. He should flee from fornication. But he did not. He lingered. And you know the result. What happened? He committed adultery. He is a murderer. He killed Bathsheba's husband. So brothers and sisters, we should do everything we can to stay away from places that can lure us, that can make us stumble. We can stay away from people who have bad influence on us. On the surface, those may be good friends, you know, having a good time, hanging around, going to the malls, you know, playing video games on TV, on a computer, right? And you don't have to come together, right? I know that you can just have a network. You can be in Hong Kong or Beijing, and yet you can play the game at the same time. Stay away from those people. You know, the Apostle Paul teaches his student, Timothy, do everything you can to flee from the lusts of your youth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Very easy to remember. 2:22. Flee from the lusts of your youth. You know, Paul cites the failures of Israelites, not just to use as examples to the Corinthian Christians, but also to you and me. And after that, he teaches in verse 16 to 17. He reminds the Corinthian Christians that they are one in Christ. You know, when believers break the bread, drink the cup, they share the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The bread and the grape juice symbolize the life of Christ. Because Christ sacrificed his life, you and I, who believe in him, could have this new life in Christ. You and I are one in Christ. And so, here at the Burnaby Pacific Grace Church, we should do everything we can to prevent factions, divisions, any splitting. We should do everything we can to maintain that unity in Jesus Christ. And yesterday, you know, in the afternoon, over 35 people came together to talk about church affairs, to share their concerns, to talk about their needs, to remind one another. Everybody took part in it in unity and harmony. What a wonderful sight. It's good to see, you know, some of you too from the laundry group. And at the same time, Paul says in verse 19 to 20, he says this, although idols are false, you and I know that, yet Satan will use idols to lure men, to lure you and me, to control you and me. And so, eating food sacrificed to idols is the same as what? Participating in different activities with demons. You know, the Apostle Paul warns us not to do so. And so here in verse 21, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now, brothers and sisters, in a short while we're going to celebrate the Lord's table. And when we break the cup, break the bread and drink the cup, we share the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us think about Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And so right at that moment, let us pray to God. God, help me remove, eliminate any idol deep inside. Idols that I don't even know exist in my life. Lord, help me stay as farthest possible from sin. Brothers and sisters, may the examples of the Israelites, may the examples of the Corinthian Christians really remind us. And may the grace of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ, and the Lord's table that we come to later, encourage us to depend on Him, to rely on Him, the one and only true God, so that we can truly live a triumphant, victorious Christian life. Amen.